I want to say a few words, as you heard in my prayer, to prepare our thoughts for communion, and I want to do it right where we are in the book of Genesis, chapter 40. We're following this incredible story. It is, the more I study it, it's just like, wow, this is an amazing story of this man named Joseph in the second half of Genesis. And we're just learning from this story. There's so much to learn, but primarily how to forgive. How to forgive others, how to forgive ourselves, and see that under God's huge sovereign plan. It's an incredible story. And so we've seen up to this point in this story how out of hatred and jealousy, Joseph's brothers just got to get rid of him. And so they started out, we're going to kill him, and threw him in the pit. They said, no, let's make some money off of him. And so they sold him into slavery. And they sold him into slavery, and he made his way to Egypt, and he was bought by this wealthy commander, a guy in the armed forces there in Egypt. And he lived in this guy's house named Potiphar. But while Potiphar was away, Potiphar's wife, we looked at that, how she came onto him and sexually tempted him. He resisted. And as a result of her being scorned, Potiphar came home and she accused him of sexual assault. And so Joseph was thrown into prison. And there's just this is not the main point today, but there's a point that's to be learned there, that even though you may choose to do the right thing, Joseph chose to do the right thing. I'm going with God. Even though you may choose to do the right thing, it doesn't always mean that right things are going to happen. The good things are going to follow. We do not follow scripturally karma. Karma is not in the Bible, meaning do good things and good things will happen to you, do bad things and bad things will happen to you. We follow the biblical principle that there is a promise and a principle that regardless of what happens, God's going to be there. And regardless of what happens, he's going to take whatever's going on and he's going to work it out for his good purposes. And listen, I just summarized the whole story of the book, of the whole story of Joseph's story. And so now Joseph is in prison. That's in chapter 40. And we glanced at that section in our last lesson. He's in prison, and what are these two guys in prison? It's this cupbearer and the baker. And these are two guys who worked in the palace, but evidently they got on the nerves. They made the Pharaoh angry, so he threw him into prison, and now he's probably going to have him executed. So another lesson learned, you don't make the Pharaoh angry. And so one morning Joseph noticed, we talked about this before, instead of being self-absorbed, and you think he might have been, in his own little pity party, He noticed others. He noticed his cupbearer and the baker. He noticed they were just dismayed. They were really troubled, the text says. So he cared enough to say, hey, what's up? What's going on? And they said, oh, man, we had these two dreams. We had these two dreams, and they're both the same. And we just don't know what to make of these dreams. We don't know what to think about them. And so Joseph says this, and it's written there in chapter 40. He says, do not the interpretation of dreams belong to God? Tell me your dreams. And so the dreamer, remember at the beginning of the story, Joseph's a dreamer. All of a sudden we see now the dreamer is an interpreter of dreams enabled by God. So the cupbearer and the baker tell Joseph their dreams. And Joseph says, okay, I'll tell you what those dreams mean. He said to the cupbearer, he said, in 3 days, you're going to be released from prison and you're going to go back to work in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Great news. So the baker is going, oh, that is awesome, because my dream's kind of like his. What's my dream going to be? And he says, you, baker, in 3 days, you're going to be released from prison and you're going to be executed and the birds of the air are going to eat from your flesh. Not good news. And so 3 days later, it was actually, listen to this, on the Pharaoh's birthday. The first mention, a little Bible trivia, the first mention of a birthday in the Bible is on Pharaoh's birthday. 3 days later, the baker was put to death, and the cupbearer was released, and he went back to serving in the house of Pharaoh. But there's a little piece in the story that I want you to notice, that earlier in the story, Joseph said, okay, cupbearer, you're going to get out of prison. You're going to go back with the Pharaoh. Would you do me a favor? Would you please tell Pharaoh about my situation, that like I'm not supposed to be here, I didn't do anything wrong, I was falsely accused, and would you convince him to let me out of prison, because I'm not here justifiably. Cupbearer says, certainly. Cupbearer gets out, he goes to serve in the house of the Pharaoh. And Joseph is just can't wait. But in verse 23, we read these words in chapter 40. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph was forgotten. And you might read that and think there's a bit of redundancy. There's a bit of unnecessary redundancy in this passage. When I read that verse, it was like it had hands that came out of it, and it grabbed onto my heart years ago when I was walking through this with my journal. It was forgotten. It just stuck with me. And I really believe God has a reason. There's a message here. He wants us to hear it. Because you read that, like I said, there's this unnecessary redundancy that it has written here. The chief cupbearer, why would you say he forgot him when you already said he didn't remember him? You just said that. Why repeat yourself? But that's a linguistic tool in Hebrew, which was written, but also in English. When you want to get something across, you say it more than once. You really emphasize it. And then, though, to drive it home even further, you move in from the end of chapter 40 into chapter 41, and there's no chapter break in the Hebrew text. It's like, and now chapter 41, it carries on, okay? It says, after 2 full years. Now, in the Hebrew language, if you were to translate that literally, it would say, after 2 years of days. To take you beyond counting 1, 2, it's over, right? He's out. 2 years of days, in our estimation, would be 730 days. Forgotten. And you just wonder, did prisoners do, you know, in the dungeons, did Joseph mark off a day on the wall and think, oh, yeah, his cupbearer's going to tell the Pharaoh a day, the Pharaoh's going to outrage, let him out. Day 2. Day 3, like 3 days, okay? A whole week, 2 weeks, a month, 6 months. How you start feeling? Forgotten. A year, 730 days. And with the mention of 2 years of days, and prior to that, this repetition, it's as though the Holy Spirit has a really important message here that he wants us to see. Joseph was forgotten, but he wasn't. Because if you know the larger story of Joseph, God had not forgotten Joseph. God remembered Joseph. God was right there with Joseph. And listen to this. This is the hard part of the story. Joseph was right where God wanted him to be. Some of us may need to hear that this morning. You may be in a really hard place right now, but that may be right where God wants you to be this morning. And here's the thing. It's not like, and that's a unique point from the story of Joseph. It's from Genesis to Revelation, there is this theme of people, and God's wanting us to see this. He wants us to know that we get this of, I just feel so forgotten, even by God. He wants us to know that when we feel that way, that we're not. One of the passages that just so powerfully mentions this is in Isaiah chapter 49. This is when God's people were just going through incredible pain, incredible heartbreak, and just like, God, are you around? Are you here? And the words are written there. The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And then the passage goes on. God replies, Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, like a mother wouldn't forget her child, but let's just say she would. She wouldn't, but even if she did, you need to know, I will never, ever forget you. And then he goes on to write, this is beautiful. I have your name engraved on my palm. Have you ever done that? You ever taken a marker and you write something on there so you don't forget? And then eventually it wears off or washes off. But it says here, God says, I don't have it written on a wash-off marker. It's engraved. It's like tattooed, although God doesn't have a tattoo, right? But it's there. It's not going to be washed off. It's not going to be removed. Listen to this. He will always remember you. Even in those times when you feel so very forgotten. And like, read Psalms. My goodness, it's just like from the beginning to end, is God says, I get it. I hear your feelings, because a psalmist pushes this out in his expressions. The best one is Psalm 13, verses 1 through 3. How long, Lord, oh Lord? Like, how many days? I'm just marking them off on the wall. How many days do I have to go through this or wait for this or this to be resolved in my life? How long, oh Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? You ever been there? Are you there right now? God understands that. I think he's trying to get that across in Scripture, in the story of Joseph. And like, does he understand that? Does he understand that? There's nowhere in Scripture where that is not just clearer than with Christ suffering and dying on the cross. You know the words where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? And you're thinking, wait a minute, you are Jesus, you're the Son of God, you're God incarnate, and like, you know how this story plays out. You understand that. You know, and you, as a matter of fact, Jesus even predicted, in 3 days I'm going to rise from the dead. You understand that with your head, but Jesus, in his heart, in his humanity, he felt this just as any of us would feel this. Why? Where are you? I feel so forgotten, even by God the Father. But Joseph's story tells us, Jesus' story reminds us that he remembers, that he is there. You're not forgotten. And look, that doesn't mean it's a pain-free, trouble-free life. That doesn't mean you might not spend a couple of years in prison or on a cross. And it doesn't mean that God's necessarily going to work, probably not, on your timetable. But he is there when it seems he isn't. And he remembers when it feels like he is forgotten. And he's there working, as we're going to see next chapter, doing something. He's got something incredible, even though you don't see it and feel it right now. And so, but there's also in chapter 40 another parallel. It's like, oh, that is such a parallel. Think about this. You got Joseph, and he says to the cupbearer, "Listen, would you remember me? Would you remember me when you get into the palace?" Where else could we see that? We're back to the cross again, aren't we? Jesus is suffering, dying. I feel so forgotten. And there's a guy next to Jesus, And he's in pain. You know he's got to be. It's hard. It's a dark day for him. He's dying. And what is death like? And what's on the other side? Will anybody remember me? What's going to happen to me? And he's encountering Jesus there on the cross and seeing something in Christ to the degree he says, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus looks at him and he says, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I will remember you. Oh, I won't forget. I've got your name right here. So today, as we go to the tables to take the emblems of the Lord's Supper, we're reminded by Jesus' death, burial, and the resurrection story, which is Joseph's story, is a reflection of this. That we, like he, are never forgotten. That even in the darkest moments, even in the dark moment of death, he's there by our side. Whatever dark moment it is, working us towards the light of his hope that he has in store for us.